Welcome to GhanaWord.com, Ghana's online preaching station. We believe the following message will be a blessing to your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God bless you.
One of the greatest signs of longevity is the fact that one should be able, while he's alive, to make decisions that affects and impacts generations yet unborn. See, I hear you. Choices we make today must have impact or some kind of a bearing on generations yet unborn. The Bible said that a generation shall, he said that a people or a generation yet to be born shall know the Lord. Shall what? Know the Lord. A generation yet unborn shall what? Know the Lord. And so God is calling us to be transgenerational minded people. So it's not about what you're doing today, because in the garden, God said to the woman, he said, thy seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. Not you, but your seed. It means that within our seed, God has embedded or injected into our seed capabilities that will bruise the head of enemies we couldn't handle. He said, thy seed shall bruise, not you. There are some enemies, if you train your seed well, they will tackle them that you couldn't tackle. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's why the enemy is out for the seed of the righteous, but we prohibit every demonic advancement against the seed of the righteous. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, from a heavenly perspective, God said to Abraham, he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not in thee, but in thy seed. It's a transgenerational blessing. Then he said, I will multiply thy seed as the dust of the earth, and as the sand of the seashore, and at the stars of heaven. Three dimensional blessings. He said, if the enemy messes with the dust, there will be a backup blessing, which is the sand of the shore. And if he messes with that, he can't touch the stars of heaven. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say three dimensions. Abraham had seven full blessings. But that's not what I'm preaching on today. I'm just talking about something about future generation. My major calling is not just to be a bishop or an archbishop or a pastor of a church, but my major call is to develop potential leaders of tomorrow. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's to raise potential leaders of tomorrow and empower them to become great warriors, servants of God in their time and in their day. So this is not about Duncan Williams. This is a transgenerational ministry. Is anybody hearing me? God said to Abraham, he said, I will multiply. He said, I will bless thee, but I will multiply thy seed. Get it? I will do what? Bless you that gave birth to the seed, but I will multiply not you, but your seed. So we need to focus on our seed, because that is where the blessing is tied. And that's why the enemy has declared war on the seed of the righteous. But the blood of the Lamb will answer. I said the blood of the Lamb will answer. Tonight, I want to take you into the word for some few minutes. on a subject I entitled, I preached it so many years ago, but I want to bring it when we used to be at trade fair. How many of you used to be at trade fair when we were at trade fair? Alright, so a few of you. I wanted to mention it because some of you may remember. I titled the message, Depths for Heights. Or Depths Begets Heights. How high you climb is determined by how deep you go. Amen? And I had another message. I had two messages. I always have a backup message. All the time, I tell my pastors, I said, have two messages. Have a backup message. Because there are certain messages, you get into an environment and the atmosphere is not conducive. And you have to switch. But you must always have a backup message to allow you to switch and still stay anointed. So I have another message entitled, The Dream is Still in Motion. Are you hearing me, somebody? So if you judge me by my present status, you've missed it. Because my dream has nothing to do with my status. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'll preach it one of these days. They took Joseph coats of many colors, representing his covering, reputation, image. But they could not take his dream. They lied on him, but they couldn't kill the dream. You can mess with my reputation. You can mess with my name. You can mess with my image, but you can't steal the dream, because the dream is inside of me. Somebody lift up your hands and shout, yes! Are you hearing me, somebody? It didn't just stop there. When he went to Potiphar's house. You see, dreamers, the enemy always want to discredit dreamers because of the dream. We'll get into that some other time, not today. If you are a dreamer, you will always be the target of envy and of jealousy. People will always want to kill you if you're a dreamer. And what they do is, if they can't kill you, they'll destroy your reputation so that people won't hear you. And when the enemy could not get Joseph to compromise, he decided to go for his reputation again. He went for his garment the second time. Mess with his name, scandalize him, reproach him, stigmatize him, but he couldn't take the dream. He was still dreaming in the prison. Are you hearing me, somebody? I came to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter where you are in life. Don't stop dreaming. Keep dreaming. Because your dream is going to bring you out and vindicate you one of these days. Are you hearing me, somebody? Give somebody a high five and say, keep dreaming. Say, keep the dream in motion. Keep it in motion. All right, that is just the teaser. Okay? I'll bring the rare diet. Okay? I'm not going to tell you when. So, those of you who show up, hallelujah. Amen. I want to begin. The reason why I decided to come this way is because the Bible said, at the mouth of two and three witnesses, every word shall be established. And Bishop just quoted one of my scriptures and just dealt with the theme. And I said, this is it. The Spirit of God is speaking. The Bible said, let him that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So there is the Logos word, which is the written word. Then there is the Rhema word, which is the noun word. And the noun word, which is the Rhema word, only comes to those who have the ability or have sensitized themselves to hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, if you haven't yet cultivated and developed your spiritual antenna to a point where your radar can begin to pick up what the Spirit of God is saying, if you haven't developed the ability to log into the Spirit and to download the intelligence of the Spirit, you will always be dwelling on letter and never have the noun word. When God said to Abraham, leave your father's house to a land that I will show you, to Abraham, that was a rhema. to you and I is a logos. So you try to do what Abraham did and you'll be in trouble, even though you're acting on the word. Is anybody hearing me? Turn your Bibles to me, with me to Genesis, the second chapter and the 21st verse. Genesis 2:21. The Bible talks about the fact that God put to sleep. Adam. Genesis 2:21. Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a sleep, a deep sleep to fall upon
Adam. Underline the word a deep. Somebody say deep.
Deep.
Can you talk to me? What's wrong with you today? I don't like this. Come on, talk to me. Say deep.
Deep.
I can't hear you. Somebody say, use the word. Say deep.
Deep.
Look at somebody and say, how deep are you?
How deep are you?
How deep is your faith? How deep is your love? And how deep is your revelation? How deep is your commitment? How deep is your loyalty? How deep is your faithfulness? How deep is your commitment to the house of God? How deep are you in the things of God? Go ahead.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the man, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:7.
2 Corinthians 4:7. The word says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you have some hidden treasures inside of you. Look at somebody else and say, there is a hidden treasure inside of you. Say deep. Now look at me. When Adam was walking all along in the garden, Bishop, and he was naming all the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, he named tilapia. How many of you eat tilapia? It was Adam that named tilapia. Called it tilapia, and it was so. Salmon, give me some of the name. Frogs. You ever ate frog before? Go to Chinese restaurant, frog. It was Adam that named it. When Adam was going around naming all those animals, inside of him was a treasure trapped in him, and he had no idea about it. Adam didn't know what was inside of him. Look at somebody and say, you don't know what is inside of you. Say, everything you ever need to fulfill your assignment is inside of you. Is there? Adam lived in the garden, went about doing his business. Little did he know that everything he needed to meet and to satisfy his longings, desires, and passion, the companionship, the friendship, and everything he wanted and needed was inside of him. It was inside of him. Look at someone and say, it's inside of you. Number two. The only way God could bring out what was in him was to cause him to go deeper than the level where he was. Now hear me. Every mineral or mineral resources are not found at the surface. You always have to dig deep to find gold or diamonds or any mineral resources. Is anybody hearing me? You can't find them at the surface. You go where? Deep to find it. Somebody say, talk to me. High rise. wise buildings can rise that high because of how deep they go. So it is your depths that determines your heights and your placement in society. It is your depths that determine what you can handle and what you cannot handle. One thing that can kill one person to another because of depths is a stepping stone to victory. Are you hearing me, somebody? Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Something that discourages one person encourages another person because of, say, levels. Talk to me, say, levels. The Bible said, there is what? This word. Treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Do I have some vessels here? Come on, talk to me. Do I have some vessels here? Do you know that inside of you is a treasure? But you see, you can never discover the treasure that is in you. And God can bring out of you the treasure in you unless you go deeper than you are right now. You have to be deeper than you are in order for you to discover the treasure that is in you. And the Bible said that God made a deep sleep to come upon Adam and put him to sleep. Say, why deep? Say, why sleep deep? I want you to look at me carefully. You have to listen carefully. Now, it was important for him to go deep and to sleep deep because God was going to operate on him. That was where the concept of surgery or operation came from. Are you hearing me, somebody? God was going to cut him and bring the treasure out of him. And if he wasn't deep, and if he didn't put him to a deep sleep, he would have interfered with the process of his own miracle. Are you hearing me, somebody? And unless we go deep into the spirit by leaving the natural realm, you got to help me with the sound. You got to help me. It's a little frustration with it, but it's good. It's great. But you got to get it better. Okay, so just work with me. I'm not at the right altitude right now. I'm going through some sound barriers now. So just work with me. Hallelujah. But you're doing great. Give them a big clap offering. It's great. It's great. It's great. Amen. All right. Now, if he hadn't gone into a deep sleep, he would have interfered with the process of bringing the treasure out of him. Are you hearing me, somebody? Look at me. Say, I hear you. Talk to me. Say, I hear you. Unless we become deeper than we are, our flesh, self, will interfere with the process of our own miracle. Because God is taking us through a process. And sometimes, God, the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So God allows us to go through some afflictions. Are you hearing me, somebody? He talks about the temporal affliction that we go through right now. There is just it's a moment. It's not something that is forever. Are you hearing me, somebody? The afflictions are for a moment, but for a moment. Is anybody hearing me? Now, if you don't learn to become deeper than you are in your walk with God, if you don't love deep, if you don't commit deep, if you don't pray deep, if you don't walk in faith deep, if you don't get involved deep, you got to go to the deep end to be able to see the wonders of God. The wonders of God are not in his works, they are in the deep. So you can know the works of God and still not see the wonders of God. The wonders of God are not in his works, the wonders of God are in the deep. And Adam went deep into sleep, and it means that word deep in sleep connotes rest. Rest where you lean on the everlasting arms and you take your eyes off the crisis and all that you are going through in the natural. You rest in the Lord and you resign from your labor. That means you leave the cares of the flesh. You disengage from the worries of the flesh. You silence the voice of your flesh. You crucify your flesh. You put your flesh to death. Are you hearing me, somebody? And even though you are alive, yet you are dead to your flesh, to the needs of your flesh, to the desires of your flesh. Are you hearing me, somebody? Paul said, for thy sake, we die all day long. Then he said, we die what? Daily. Now that is not just talking about physical death, but it's talking about dying to self and not being alive to your flesh, but being alive in the spirit. The only way you can be alive in the spirit is to die naturally. Say deep. Look at another scripture. Come with me. See some scripture here. Genesis 15:12. Yeah.
And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham.
A deep what?
Sleep.
Say it again. A deep what?
Sleep.
Talk to me. A deep what?
Sleep.
Did what? It fell on who?
Abraham.
Go ahead.
Upon Abraham. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in the good old age.
Now look at me. It's important that you get this. It's important that you get this. Now God had come to Abraham and was making some powerful promises to Abraham. If you read the whole scripture, then Abraham said, God, why are you making all these promises to me when I don't have a child? When I have no seed? And in order for God to put Abraham's doubts and argument to settle and to rest, he caused a deep war, sleep. He said, Abraham, I want you to sleep deep. Go deep. And I want to show you something you can't see as long as you are alive and awake. In the natural, you can't see what I want to show you. But if you can go deep, when Abraham slept and went into a deep sleep, that means to the natural, he wasn't functioning. His senses wasn't functioning. Everything has come to a halt in the natural. Then God took him out of the natural into the spirit. Is anybody hearing me? He took him out of what? Out of the natural into the supernatural. And showed him his future and settled the controversy. After that, Abraham never doubted God anymore. It's a good place to clap. Hear me? Do you know why? When God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac, he didn't tell the wife, didn't argue about it, just took the son and went to sacrifice him. You know why? It was that deep sleep. In that deep sleep, God showed him and played him a DVD of his life and his future. And even showed him his end and when he would die and everything. So he had captured everything. And so when God said, sacrifice the son, he said, well, that is your problem. I have the promise. Somebody say, I have a promise. Say, I have the promise. Say, I have a sure promise. I have a sure word on the issue. So Abraham wouldn't doubt, wouldn't question God, had no problem and worry about the matter, but to take the son and say, son, it's time to die. Why? Because death reveal the future. Depths gave him access to advanced knowledge. For him to know something that there was no way he could have known if he didn't go deep. And the reason why God had to put him to sleep was because Abraham was in the flesh. When God told him and began to tell him about what he would do with his children, he started questioning God. And God said, listen, Abraham, right now, the level where you are, you can't see. So the only way I can get you to see, I'm going to get you out of the flesh into the supernatural. When you get into the supernatural, then you will see and understand what I'm telling you. Because you see, God doesn't just see where you are now. He sees where you will be 5-10 years from now. Are you hearing me, somebody? So you might be in a situation right now, and you might think that God is not coming for you. God is not showing up. Why is God not responding? Why is this thing happening? You got to understand me. Hear me carefully. God, the Bible said, I know the thoughts I have of you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to show you or to give you what unexpected end. So on God's mind, when you are traveling on a road and there are a lot of bombs or potholes, you don't stop because of the potholes. What do? You keep moving. You keep driving. Look at someone and say, keep driving. Say, drive through it. Say, drive through the storm. Say, fly through the storms. You keep going. You navigate. You don't stop because of bombs. You don't stop because of pothole. You keep on walking, moving, till you get to your final destination. The problem in the church is, we have this concept and mentality that if you are in church, everything is going to be beautiful. If you are a believer, everything is fine. I was speaking to the singles in America the other day, and I said to them that if you want to marry as a sister because you are growing old, don't marry. I tell you what. And I said, if you want to marry because you want babies, don't marry. If you want to marry because your father and mother are putting pressure on you to marry, don't marry. If you want to marry because all your siblings have married, don't marry. If you want to marry because all your friends, your schoolmates have married, don't marry. Because the motive does not comply with the word. It's a wrong foundation. You see, God doesn't judge what we do. He judges motives. Everybody say motives. Actions are derived out of motives. And it is the motive for which, if you marry because you just want babies, when you get into the marriage, all you want is to make love with the man until you get pregnant. As soon as you get pregnant, 50% of the purpose for which you marry has been fulfilled. As soon as you have the baby, 100% of the purpose is fulfilled. The man doesn't matter anymore. From that time going, you are dealing with sinking sand. You can call it anything. We have to redefine scripture very carefully. There are some things only I can say. I was telling a preacher the other day, and I said, people get up and they talk nonsense, religious people. Somebody just get up and say, God hates divorce. It's true. He hates it. But have we ever asked ourselves, why does God hate divorce? Why? Have you ever asked that question, that why? Two, have you ever asked, what led to that statement? What happened for God to say that? What did God see? And what did God hear for which he said what he said? Number two, do we check the pretext and the pretext of the context of the text? That means what happened before the text and what happened after the text. Everybody just quotes scripture, and we take a scripture and we want scripture to apply to every situation, but every situation has to be dealt with on its own merit. Is anybody hearing me? You need to find out, why does God hate something? He hates divorce because he's a covenant-keeping God. And God doesn't like covenants being broken. Number three, what is covenant and what is covenant built upon? A covenant is an agreement between two people that is built, hear me carefully, it's built on agreement. And the agreement is a product of understanding. So where the understanding for which we enter into a covenant is wrong, the Bible says, how can two walk except they be in agreement. So that if your motive for which you went into an agreement with somebody is not the motive for which he entered the covenant with you, right from the beginning, there is no covenant, because a covenant must be based on an agreement which is a product of understanding. So where people do things without an understanding of the purpose, say everything has a purpose. Say everything God made has a purpose. Now look at me. What is the purpose of a car? What is the purpose of a motorbike? What is the purpose of microphone? What is the purpose of a woman? What is the purpose of a man? If the church, Bishop, you have to research. Dr. Muyiwa, you have to research. We have to break the religious status quo of our time and research to a point where we begin to redefine what Scripture is saying in the light of progressive revelation and progressive truth. So we don't just take a stand just because the Bible says, without understanding. For instance, my mother will tell you something about my grandmother. What made women to respect a man in their days is different from what makes women respect a man today. Let me explain it to you. In their days, the man was the breadwinner. Women didn't go to school. Men did. And even if a woman go to school, she was subjected to just stay in the house, make babies, cook for the man, clean the house, and be a house taker and take care of the man, give him sex, cook for him, take care of the children, and fulfill no dream. That was those days. So a man was respected when you provide for the family, when you pay the bills, when you bought a car for your wife, when you did things for the woman, provided for the family, you were respected on that basis. They call you a man. This generation, there are women who earn more money than their husbands. So if you expect your wife to respect you because of your salary and your income, you are playing a game. Because, hear me carefully. We live in different cultures. But in a place like Europe, the Western world, America, different places. And even here, there are women who earn more than men. There are men who are driving in the car that the woman bought. The car he's driving, the woman bought it. It's a name that is on the car. So if you're expecting the woman to respect you, are you hearing me, somebody? Because you're a provider, forget it. Because the definition of a man is not determined by what he does or what he doesn't do. It is determined by understanding. Because take for instance, when you remove your car battery out of the car and the car is not operating again, does the car ceases to be a car and become a motorbike or a human being? Huh? It is still a car, but it's not working. I'm saying something here. My job is to research and destroy all that religious devils that have come into the church, and it's not making the church in Africa progress. And the church is narrow-minded in our mind. We see Scripture from a narrow perspective. A pastor's wife shot the husband in Mississippi recently. In cold blood, it's on CNN. Took a gun, pow, and killed the man. Another pastor just shot the wife, pow, killed her in Florida.